You are listening to the Tracy L. Clark Show with me, Tracy L., the founder of the Body Regeneration Method. And I am here to empower you and teach you how to connect to the God consciousness like you've never connected before. Tune in every Tuesday, 8 a.m. Pacific, right here on Transformation Talk Radio, where I combine science, spirituality, and ministry to help you unlock the secrets within so you can finally let go of what's holding you back. If you are truly ready to break free and bring in the new and stop wasting your time, join me and together let's unlock your superpowers so you can live your extraordinary life. Welcome back to this week's episode of the Tracy L. Clark Show. I am so excited to have you guys join me today. As you know, I bring in people every once in a while, usually about once a month, that I really feel offer you value, and really especially during this incredible time of transformation. We are ending a whole old era, those last 50, 60, 70 years. They're going and we're stepping into the new. And this is why I'm so excited today to bring you our guest, Dr. JJ Kelly. We're going to have some fun with her today. And this is why I wrote it down, because I wanted to make sure I did this perfect introducing you. What she does, though, is she helps gifted children unlock their superpowers. And as avid listeners, you guys know I am all about that superpower that they have. She also released her book, which is Holy SSS. My kid is cutting me, can't say that word always. But what I love so much about her, and I want you to tune in, is so many of you write and ask, how can we help the children? How can we do things differently? What can we do? I had the pleasure of meeting her in January, and she literally just jumped out of the crowd. And what I love is her uniqueness, her unique approach. And for some people, it's different, but this is what we require now. This is what we need to really help the children get through to the next levels of their life. So stay, you want to be here glued for the next hour, because you're in for a treat. Dr. JJ Kelly, I'm so thrilled to have you here.
Hi, I'm really excited too. Oh my gosh, this is so great.
You know what I love so much is that you have a real approach with these children. You know, when you and I got to talk, and you're done with that like whole, I don't even know if this is, I'm just going to say like it is. Let's just sit down and let's just talk about how you feel. You know it doesn't work. You know it doesn't work. Can you, we have a lot of parents that literally say, and exactly, I love your book, because a lot of people say, why is my child harming themselves? What can I do? And what's happening? Like, what would you say? Because these parents don't, they're finding, they say, Tracy, it doesn't work. This old way isn't working. You are the cutting edge. You get it. You talk their language. You're funky and fun, but you're down on their level and you treat them like humans.
Yeah.
Like humans. Can you elaborate on some of that? Because I know a lot of people, they ask, they're like, why are we not getting anywhere with our children?
I mean, I can talk a long time about this, but I think that the bottom line is the realness that you mentioned. Like, yeah, there, I often say that I'm not a flavor that everyone enjoys.
I love it.
That's perfectly fine. However, the ones that can deal with my, like, no bullshit approach.
Yeah.
They stay and we connect, and that's where the healing comes in. I think the reason the old paradigm doesn't work, Jesus, 25 things I can name off the top of my head, but the listening, doctors don't listen. That's one. Two is, where's the love? Where's the love? There's so much talk about not loving them so that you can stay objective. But I think there has to be that mixture of the two. You know, I do dialectics, so everything is the Venn diagram. It's not black or white, it's gray. So yeah. Let's learn how to manage our anxiety that comes with the unknown. Let's actually be open to being with each other, flaws and all. Mm-hmm. And that's why I don't stop cursing. I figure, whatever, I've opened the door. I'm the doctor. You know, people some doctor worship. It shouldn't be like that. Plenty of doctors don't know what the hell that they're doing.
Oh, so. You're right. Yeah. Hey, you're in the right community for that. 100%. We're
so,
with you.
Know, listening, actually listening, you know, caring about what they care about. They care about music and their friends and their grades, they're stressed out. And to just dismiss that instead of validate, I mean, I validate them. That doesn't mean I agree with their bitching.
Yeah, I agree.
You know, I just meet them where they are and then am like, okay, so what are we going to do about it? But you got to meet them where they are first for that connection to take place so that we can have that love and respect, trust between us so that we can move forward. It doesn't work otherwise.
You know, I love what you said about one. I talk about this all the time. I love you said this. We have to stop giving our power over to what people think is authoritative figures. Like you said,
yes.
Like doctors, we have to stop that because they go and then they give the power over. And then it's, and you and I had a conversation about this, about, okay, well then let's just take these medicines.
Yeah.
And they go, well, the doctor said
take this. Oh, I mean, so many of my kids, and like when I say kids, I'm like,
yeah,
11 to 40 plus, you know,
that's awesome. Yeah.
So, but they have come on multiple meds when we meet, and very few psychiatrists will work with me to get them off, work with me working with them. But you know, all my docs that are in the mentorship program now, they're all off everything.
Oh, amen. Amen. You know what? That's an amen moment. It really is for parents listening, because this is the biggest thing that I hear from parents is like, where can I find someone that can help my child and get them off the medicines? And what you said is so key. You got to meet them. I don't know if you find this a lot. I hear this a lot from parents. You would know better being in your space. So this is why we're asking you. It's like, there's so many parents and doctors that want the kids at that age, especially kids, to be like they did it or be like who they were. But we didn't have social media like they do now. That's their world. That's their, like, you know, the way they consume their school, right. What they do. It's, you can't put them into how
totally
we did it.
And you can't do it the opposite of how you were raised either. Like,
yeah.
Oh, my parents were too strict, so I'm going to be super loose. That's that dichotomy again. It has to be that balanced middle of, you know, a little bit how I know from my childhood, a little bit from what I am in earnest trying to learn about childhood now and being a teenager now. Can you imagine the pressure? And it gets worse after college too. Nobody talks about how hard life is after undergrad. Oh,
yeah, they don't.
And that is such a stressful time. Their brains are still not developed, by the way. And if
what is the fault that their brain fully, like, well, I know it's developed longer, but
I mean, you know, it's all a guess, but 25 is
pretty. I was going to say, I know I heard before it was like 20 to 21, but it feels, when I look energetically, it always feels like it's later than that. So 25 actually would be very, very true. So you're throwing these, no wonder they're so stressed. You're throwing them out in the world after whatever, if they're done high school and university or whatever they're doing in college. And okay, now what? Like,
right. And I'm coddled. That, okay, now this is real life. You're an adult, no more dicking around in school, but also, hey, you got no experience, so you're not worth anything either.
Oh, yeah.
Like,
yeah.
What, where are you supposed to go with that? There's like zero validation in that, and there's zero help. I mean, giving all people these skills to regulate emotion, to assert themselves with others, to say no. I'll ask people, and it's such a setup, but it's pretty transparent. I'm like, okay, so do you think that you're skilled in being able to say no? Oh, totally. So give me an example of how you say no. The word no is nowhere in the sentence, and they don't even notice. I'm like, where was the word no? You know, it's a complete sentence, right? Well, they know, but it's too anxiety provoking to say and sit with, and nobody teaches you how to regulate and sit with that anxiety instead of just act from it and make messes.
Well, I said the other day, it's so cool you said this. I said the other day to some of my community, I said, remember when you're two and the 2-year-olds are always no, 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 no. I'm like, you guys got to get back to being the 2-year-old. We're not caring. It's no and mine. Now, obviously not on that selfish, but it's like, no, that doesn't work for me. That is mine. I'm going to go after it. No, that doesn't work for me. And I love you're saying this because it's like that word became shamed and the kids don't even want to say it in school.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like they're like, well, if I say that, my teacher gets mad at me or I might get detention. I've heard kids say this. Do you find that? Like,
oh, sure. Absolutely. It's a sort of like, don't think that I have the right to say no, because, you know, I'm a young person or I'm a woman or I'm, you know, trans or anything different. I'm Black, you know, like all of those non-minority ticks can wear away someone's self-confidence because of the messaging that comes from society. And because we don't teach people to let that roll by. I say water off a duck's ass all the time. Yeah. You just, that's what mindfulness is, you know?
I love it. I love it.
People say just let it go, but no one teaches you how to let it go. What does that mean? How do I accomplish that?
You know, this is why I love you so much. It's like when people say, oh, just be in love. I'm like, what does that mean? So I'm in the energy. I'm in this world. I have this like spiritual space. I debunk it like you, because it's like, oh, just love. What does that mean? Because my version of love all these years ago was treat me like crap, abuse me, kick me. So that's love. Like, I'm so tired of this. And I love you've said this, just the let it go. So what would you say to parents that are listening? Mm-hmm. And I know they're going to be going, you got to hear this woman, because you're amazing. What would you say to a parent that you're, when you just said, okay, you got to let it go, what would be one of the little skills that you could start to say, this is how you have to start to communicate with your children?
Well, I think I'm going to plug validation to answer this question, just because I think it's so important. I have actual dialogue in the book because that's how I roll.
I love it.
About how, you know, your 15-year-old daughter comes to you and she's bitching about, you know how they're friends one minute and then they're not.
Oh, yeah.
And you know, it's nonsense. And even they kind of know that it's nonsense. But what is not nonsense is the emotional stirring. It is important to them. It's about their relationships. That is very important at that age and all ages. So they get in the car and you've had, you know, a day, and they start bitching about it. And all you want to be like is, you know, every other week you guys are friends or you're not. And don't do that. You can validate them without agreeing. You say, oh, that sucks. Oh, that sounds hard. Do you want to talk about it? And, you know, the urge is to be like, well, wait, you guys have been friends forever. You can't not be friends. You know, problem solving. Problem solving cannot happen before validation. And that's why mental health right now does not work. Because the doctors want to be the ones with the answers, tell you what to do. You know in your heart what to do. So we bring it out. I bring my expertise on the field, the study of human behavior. You bring your expertise about you. We work together in collaboration. It's the only thing that heals.
Okay, did everybody just hear what she said? Because I am behind this a bazillion percent. Looking for the validation from a doctor or someone like that is like, here's a pill, it'll calm it down, or exactly, oh, we'll fix the problem. I love this. You don't need to fix the problem. You need to just listen. And I want you to hear, just, and if you have to come back and listen to this over and over, please do. Because as soon as you said that, you can see a lot of light bulbs are going to go on. And people, because they're not, you can't fix the problem in mental health by shoving it under the rug. And all the kids are now, I every day you're hearing another child, my child's deemed this, they're termed this, they have this. Yeah. Can we stop labeling the children?
Please.
Like, what's your thought on that? I'm so tired of children that are so aware being labeled and then they're shamed.
No, we don't do this. I mean, we do it when there's in humor shaming together. Once there's a very established relationship, I might be like, well, that's kind of narcissy behavior, you know, and then we laugh about it. But I'm still talking about the behavior, which is an important distinction. I don't call people cutters. That's gross.
No.
People, that's a behavior. You know, by the way, depression is a diagnosis, not a feeling. sadness is a feeling, and it's a normal one.
Amen.
Oh, yeah. I've been feeling depressed today. No, you're not, because depression's not a feeling. You're feeling sad. You're feeling anxious to the point of overwhelm, which looks like depression because you won't get out of bed. Difference. There's a difference.
Oh, thank you. I said it. You're the only other person. I have said this for so long. Okay. You're the only other person that I've heard say this. I said, real depression is you can't get your butt out of bed. You cannot get out of bed. That's a real depression person. Right. Not the person when you tell me you're so depressed and you're going to the gym.
Right.
I'm so depressed.
Hiding out is different. That's an anxiety.
Exactly. Thing. Yeah. Yeah.
And they're two sides of the same coin. I just think that the anxiety piece isn't addressed as much as the depression, probably because it's harder to treat. But that's the major emotion that we as human animals feel the most. So why wouldn't we want to get a handle on some skills of how to regulate fear, for Christ's sake?
Oh, yeah. Especially now. Okay, we're in this perfect time.
Yes.
You know, this is now, everybody's been in this fear and hoarding. And
yeah.
Had they had some skills? Like, I have no fear. I have no fear.
Same.
None. I'm like, okay, we'll roll through it. We'll move it. I'm not running out there like,
I'm naive and I don't understand science.
Exactly. No. And that's different. And that's where people are like, do you not understand? I'm like, no. You just kind of follow what you need to do, and you know things are going to work itself out.
Isn't it funny how you're calm and then they want to like dump information on you to change your mind into panic?
Yeah.
That's not loving.
No. And that's what happens with kids. Yes. And it's like, I call it sliming, because I'm like, I feel calm. I know whatever, like, it's not, like I said, it's not like you're sitting there going, these things don't exist. What you're saying too is you're like, well, I have a choice how I'm going to navigate it based on how we've learned to grow and communicate. And this is what I love, because you're doing this with the children. Like, what you do needs to be in every school. Like,
that's what I wrote my dissertation on. Ages ago, a decade ago, I wrote my dissertation on that.
Yeah, because if you teach kids how to communicate, how to feel, how to listen, we would have way less bullying, because we know why they bully and act out. Usually there's something at home, something going. They'd be able to communicate, feel. The teachers need to be educated. How do I talk to my kids? Not just learn your science and get out. You got an A, you got a B. Like, I was a misfit kid. I get it. I was bullied. I was so bullied. I was failing my school. I was told I was dumb. I was shamed. I was like, I get it. And so I'm like, if this, what you took went into the schools, and I'm going to just, I pray behind that all day long that, you know, to get that awareness into the schools, imagine
preventative medicine then.
Yeah. And imagine what they come up to as young adults and people that are now, you know, early adults. So through their 20s, late 20s, early 30s, compassion, kindness, and go, I can see how you're feeling that way.
Which are very natural ways to be when you like yourself. Last April, Angela had us write this statement about like what our mission is. I did like 10 of them on post-its, but what I ended up with was, global healing is achieved when we teach people the skills to like themselves.
Amen. Yeah, so true.
That's what the gifted misfits are. And the same skills that I teach for learning to like yourself is those skill set. That's the same as getting through this crisis. It's the same on the personal, individual, local, global level. It's all the same. If you like yourself, you're going to behave differently. You're not going to shit on somebody when they're calm. Yes. There will not be children starving to death. There will be no racism, no isms.
Yes, I love it.
Because happy people don't act like that.
Yeah, you know, it's so true. You said that when we love ourselves, we look at everybody. It's like, how can we help you? Like, how can I serve you?
Yes.
Oh, you require something. Like, I always saying to people, you know, just by opening a door, even in a day, like being kind and saying, wow, you know, even something cute, like love that stroller, or love that hat, or, you know, love those glasses. You always have the funky glasses. But by seeing and acknowledging people and communicating, even starting there, and you are so correct. the more that we learn to love and communicate with ourselves.
Yes.
And this is the key for children. What I see up here in Canada, I know you're in the States, what I see, and you can tell me if it's similar, it's like they just shove them in classrooms and they want a curriculum to be done. Yeah. And the teachers are screaming, they have high classrooms and their kids are going crazy.
Yep.
Is it similar? You can see
the same absolutely. Thing. In the public school, yeah. And private schools are, you know, some of them gotten it better, but they're very, very expensive because they're not subsidized.
Yeah, a lot of people can't afford them. And up here too, a lot of people can't afford them. So there's more public schools. I find, what do you find is working with so many, and especially children, I know you have a huge demographic of people.
Well, it's really teens and 20s is my specialty.
I love that. Yeah. And I call them children like you, like teens.
Kids, yeah.
Yeah. My kids are in their 20s, like they're 25 and, okay. 22. So I'm like, those are kids. Those are my kids. What do you find though? I would like to know with the high school age, what do you find to be the biggest, maybe the biggest common factor that's a challenge for them?
Here in the Bay Area, it's academic pressure.
It is. It is here too.
Yeah. Getting into the schools.
So how do you work through that with them? Because we know the systems are going to change. We know the school systems are going to change. You and I know that it's going to take a while though for it to happen, but it will change. But so these kids are literally so stressed out over these grades. What do you say to them? Because you can't just say, oh, get through it. Like,
oh my God, how invalidating is that?
I went back to school and finishing my non-denominational ministry. If someone said that to me, I'm busy and I'm like, oh my God, I got all this homework to do. I'm like, I know what it's like now to be one of these kids again, because I've been out of the system for a long time, right? Mm-hmm. I'm almost 50 years old. Like I've been out. So it's like, and I look at these kids with the pressure of social media, the homework. It's like, they don't care
homework.
Yeah, it's like they think they only have one class. So these children are, how do we help them with that? Because I don't think parents know how other than just get through it. That's all I hear.
Well, again, I have a whole section about grades.
Oh, they'll be reading your book. Yeah, trust me. Book. They're going to be reading your book.
I mean, I'm not trying to plug the book. I'm just saying.
No, we want to plug the book. There. They need help. Yeah.
But what I do, I want parents to take a realistic assessment of where their kids' skill set, I mean, what are their grades? What are their natural talents for that? I mean, and parents often are not an objective judge of that. Well, then go get testing. Go get some actual testing from some outside source to evaluate what their capabilities are, because you might want them to be higher than they are. Or you don't have to get straight A's. I say straight B's. And even for the straight A students, that brings the bar down a little bit where the anxiety comes down and then they can achieve. Do your best. I say, of course, do your best. We are going to have a conversation if you get less than straight B's, but B's are above average. And if their capability is A's, which a lot of my kids, it is, bringing that bar down isn't telling them to be an underachiever. It is reducing the stress to a level that is not overwhelmed then. Now they can think because they're not fried, you know, their executive functioning isn't down because they're overwhelmed. Overwhelm causes paralysis and then we call them lazy. That's not lazy.
I love this. Okay, I know we have to run to a quick break. Okay. I want them to, they got to go get the book. Holy SS, my kid is cutting. You know the word there, but I know they can get it. Just give them, can you just, your website? Because I know a lot of people are going to want to go
it's
get the book.
It's just drjjkelly.com.
I love it. And can they get the book there or is it on Amazon?
Absolutely. Yeah. I'm pretty sure there's a link for a free one on there.
Okay. Well, I've seen it on your website. So, okay. We're going to take a quick break, guys. You want to come back because I want to pick this up around this overwhelm and really adjusting this bar. So we'll be right back after the break. Are you ready to shift your life into overdrive and stop wasting your time? If so, then I want to invite you right now to the Body Regeneration Online Academy with me, Tracy L.
In a world filled with so much information, you can get overloaded and confused, left feeling like you've tried everything and still no results. If this is you, then this platform is for you to help you step into your power, your intuition, and gain clarity. You will learn simple tools that you can use as you walk down the street, and I will teach you how to grow a stronger connection to the God consciousness. Imagine having me as your coach, shifting you, uplifting you, empowering you every week, and most of all, helping you stay connected so you can navigate your life's journey with ease and grace. Nothing will be able to get in your way. Plus, you will have a community filled with souls just like you to pick you up when you fall down and support you on your wins. No one can go this journey alone. If you are ready for your live activations, check me out at TracyLClark.com and join the TLC Body Regeneration Online Academy now.
Yeah, yippee skippy to that, baby. We're not done yet. Some of us are out here to educate and inspire. This year, 2020, is the year we gotta show me the money in the cash flow. I'm Dr. Pat. This is the Dr. Pat Show. This is Talk Radio to Thrive By.
Visit thedrpatshow.com.
Imagine starting your week off with a teaching, a clearing, and an activation direct from the God consciousness. If you would like to feel more in charge of your week ahead, then I personally invite you to join me, Tracy L. Clark, for our monthly Soul Sunday non-denominational service at 11 a.m. Eastern Time, online or in person. All donations for this event go to the TLC Initiative Fund to help those in need. Sign up now at TracyLClark.com and let's connect together in the glory realm.
Are you done being afraid to jump into the life that's waiting for you? Are you ready for a real shift? I invite you to tune in every Tuesday with me, Tracy L, on the Tracy L. Clark Show, where we will teach you how to live your extraordinary life. At 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where I will provide the tools and the steps needed to help you transcend perceived limitations and move forward with an extraordinary life. For more information, visit me at TracyLClark.com.
Hello, friends. I am Terry J. Walker with the I Am Power Hour, and here is your soul-stretching success tip of the day, taking 100% responsibility for your life. You know, a belief is a thought you just keep thinking. So the questions become, what is your mindset? As you assess your strengths and weaknesses, you need to believe and empower yourself. When you change your mindset to, I am, I can, and I will, your courage, your purpose, and your power, and your greatness begin to evolve. Make the commitment today. Obtain the discipline and be willing to do whatever it takes to learn, to grow, and develop yourself in order to win at life. You are worthy, you are talented, and you have the ability to create your life of abundance. For you are your greatest assets. I'll see you next time.
Welcome back. You know what? Our incredible guest, Dr. JJ Kelly, I'm so excited she can join us. If you caught the first half, if you're just catching the second, you need to go back and listen to the first half as soon as this gets uploaded on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever those 90 outlets are that you're listening to this. You know what? Before we went to the break, we were talking about this overwhelm, and I love what you said about bringing the bar down. And what that also triggered is, do you also see with a lot of the kids, not only the overwhelm, obviously with the grades, that's the big thing, but also the pressure? You know how social media gets more addictive for these kids?
Yeah,
and that competitive factor now, like school seems more competitive, not just grades, like you were saying with universities and stuff, but it's like, it seems like the competition in school is higher, creating more overwhelm for kids. Is that accurate?
Yeah, I think, again, I think it's fear-based. And when you were talking about adolescence, where is the fear? It's insecurity. Am I cool enough? I'm not athletic enough, whatever.
Do I fit in?
Yeah. And do I fit in? Which, do I fit in? Are we trying? That is
exactly. And why do we want to? We get older like us and we're like, oh my God, why was I trying to fit in?
Totally. That's why we are embracing the word misfits. I do the air quotes, but we embrace that word.
I love it. Yeah. So I always say I'd rather be, I'm called weird all the time. I said, well, I'll be weird all day long because I don't want to be like you.
Totally. Freak is a good thing. Normal, not.
You got it. I agree.
they have fear about not being good enough. I mean, that's pretty much the catch-all. So what do people do when they aren't taught the skills to regulate anxiety, which is everybody? They project that anxiety out in the form of some kind of criticism, usually. And this is not specific to high schoolers by any means.
No, this is everybody in the world. Everybody in the world.
Project it out in the form of criticism. And that's what this is. Now look at the platforms they have for projecting criticism. And because there's that distance, they say shit that they would never say to someone's face. They would
100%.
And sometimes they don't have the courage to even say healthy confrontational things to each other, which is definitely something I teach as well, that assertiveness. Like, it takes courage to be face to face with someone and say, I know you want me to do that, and I'm not gonna.
Yeah.
Doesn't
matter. And look at your statement, so easy. That's an easy statement.
It's an easy concept.
Yeah.
And then once you have regulating anxiety in your skill set, yeah, it gets easier with practice.
Yeah.
But that all starts with defining what your values are in order to know how to behave according to them and not giving yourself permission to engage in behaviors that are off, that violate your set of values, and then they cause shame. And the more shame there is, the more of this projection and barfing your stuff on other people. You call slime, I call barf.
It's the same thing, right? You're getting, barfing, slimy.
You're getting your army.
Yeah, you're like, get that off of me. That doesn't feel good. And then when you're barfing on someone like that or sliming them, then more anxiety comes in, more frustration comes in.
Totally, because shame causes more anxiety, and then anxiety causes behaviors that are shameful.
I want to ask you about, so the whole term mental illness has been thrown around so much, like so much. Exactly. Like so much. And it's become, I find it's become more of a, I don't know, just like the flavor word of the day or something.
Kind of trendy.
Yeah. And
while still not effective.
Exactly. And
truthful still.
It's not. And when we look at kids that have really gone down where they've had a lot of shame and they've had a lot of insecurity and they have a lot of things going, don't you find like there are trigger points that people just miss that have also happened to them? Like even little trauma, like when someone's barking on you all the time, that's trauma. When somebody's like their words, like you remember in the old days when we were little kids, they run around singing on, we'd sing on the thing, sticks and stone don't break my bones, but words will never hurt me. I'm like, okay, that's a complete opposite. Words hurt me. I can heal my bone, but those words, they're going to be with me for 50 years.
Totally, totally. I have said forever, I will take a beating over a mind F.
Yeah, yeah.
Psychological abuse is so damaging. I'm not saying physical abuse isn't. I'm just saying,
but it's worse.
Straightforward. You know who the bad guy is.
Yeah.
If someone's messing with your head or your emotions, you wonder if it's you. Yeah. But if you know what your values are, then you know who you are and you behave according to those, then you can know when it's theirs and it's not yours and not take it on.
A lot of times you find with kids too, like literally the reason the parents have to learn this, this is why I want them to get your book, and they have to, this is not a shit. I'm saying you guys have to learn this. And I know I don't say that too often, but because that communication will help your child from spiraling further and further where they then do start cutting or wanting to do drugs or do you find that? Is that like, and that right path there?
I find what?
That the parents need to really understand this communication.
Oh, yeah.
They'll miss these triggers that are going on with their children with trauma. If it's emotional trauma at school or not fitting in or bullying, or maybe there's trauma at home. A lot of times there's trauma at home. And if the parent, if they could catch it and understand what you're saying, this is why it'd be lovely to have you in every school. Maybe we have to broadcast you on those big screens everywhere, is that the parents could catch this earlier and help their children.
Yep.
Do you find that if
That's why I wrote a parenting manual first. I mean, I've got four more books in my head now. I work with
Your parenting manual?
This book. That's the one.
That's the one. Okay. That so guys, that's why you need this book. Okay.
Complete plan to stop self-harm. Like that is for the gifted misfits that I'll write next. That's for the young people to validate where they're coming from. But that's why I started with a parenting manual. I don't work with the parents.
Yeah.
I never really worked intensively with the parents. I stayed with the teens and the young adults. So I got the skinny on everything that they're telling me that they're not telling the parents. So I wanted to start with a parenting manual because I just thought it was so necessary.
Oh, that's what I love about that. That's why it's, you know what it is. And I'm so happy to hear you say, so people that you're listening, this is why this is so important for you to read and follow, Dr. JJ Kelly here, because she's got her finger on this. And you know, I'm very careful when I bring people on. And what I love is it's time for us to rise and help our kids. It's time to get rid of the labels, and you're doing that. And I know that you're kind of been crusading this as a, you know, on your own.
Yes.
And this is why, as our community, I'm so excited to be able to say, guys, more. And as we've been growing around the world, say, guys, like, come on, because we have to help you rise too, because that's how children are going to get really healthy and love themselves, which are better humans, better adults, better husbands, better wives, better partners, better, you know, lovers, whatever you want to call them, but
leaders, business,
better relationships,
and ambassadors. Yes.
Yeah. Around the world. And yes. I know it can be hard. You're pioneering something where also, I know you also are rejected by those mainstreams.
Big time.
Because you get results.
Yeah.
Let's threaten the person that gets results.
It threatens the status quo big time. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And this is why I love what you're doing, because again, like overwhelm with children, I think it's going to get a little worse before it gets better.
It usually does. Yeah.
Yeah.
In a healing crisis, it gets worse.
Like we are right now.
Yeah.
I was looking at this crisis and I wonder what your thought is on this about, okay, everybody's supposed to be in close quarters, right? Mm-hmm. For a couple of weeks. Well, if we're on close quarters for 2, 3, 4 weeks, maybe 2 weeks, we hope, and out, right? but if you're in these environments, this should be your time to have these skills to be able to communicate with your child and see what's happening, not shove everybody in a room. And like, it's a blessing in a way. And this is what I really wish everybody had, all the parents had your book, they could stop, read, and say, how can I communicate with my child? Because it's a little bit of a breather as well. But there's kids and parents stuck with, I'm sure there's going to be some explosions there too.
Oh my gosh. Yes. Oh, there's going to be conflict for sure. There's conflict with the individuals having to be on their own, like be alone and quiet with their demons not worked out. I mean, nobody knows how to regulate fear. So then you put somebody alone quietly, then all that fear comes up. They have no skills because where would they have learned them for regulating fear? So what happens? People are having meltdowns.
It's going to be interesting. I always say, right, and you know this, you have fear, you have love. Everything else is just compiled on top of that for fear. Like, what's that root of the fear? And it's going to be interesting, because you're right, that space of putting people in small quarters. I kind of laughed. I said, we'll probably see a lot of divorces too. I don't know if I want to be with you anymore, but with our children, it's very different, right? Like it's very different because we do love them, but giving them these skills during this time, especially for the next 6 months and 8 months when they decide school's coming back, and maybe for parents listening, maybe this is a time that, you know, they can really sit with them before everything's in full swing and say, what can we do here that's a little bit different? How are you feeling? And like you said, really listen.
Yeah.
How are you feeling about going back to school? How are you feeling about maybe your friends? How does that make you feel?
Yeah.
And do you think that's a good place? Like, what can we help our parents with that are just listening to this? They haven't got your book yet, and they're like stuck still in these places with their
children. Oh my gosh. I mean, breathe. Isn't it interesting that this is a respiratory
thing? I know. Breathing in life. Yeah. Breathe. Like, slow down.
Yeah. And, you know, Chinese medicine talks about the lungs being about grieving. Mm-hmm. I mean, I just think it's all really interesting. So I do think everybody says breathe, but who does it? Three deep breaths. So do I. And so do the kids that I teach all the time.
But you and I all understand that. I love this breathing. Yeah, it's true.
Three deep abdominal breaths will calm down the CNS, the central nervous system.
Central nerve, yeah.
So that, by the way, stress breaks down your immune system.
100%. I just posted that last week, and because I work so much in body, right? Having to repair my own body.
Right.
And I said to people, your stress will do more to attract these viruses to you than if you're calm.
Right. And it exacerbates any existing conditions as well.
100%.
So even if you're faking calm,
yeah,
do that. Because faking calm often leads to real calm. I don't say that about much because I'm so big into validation.
100%.
But with fear, specifically panic, you do know somewhere in your heart, you know this too shall pass. So breathe and tap into that a little bit every day, or a lot of bit every day. All day, you know,
like, all day.
Anytime you think of it, take three deep breaths in for as long, you know, at least six.
Yeah, at least.
Do 10 if you can. Do 15 if you can. Do 20 out. I mean, if I didn't meditate, I'd already be insane because everyone's dumping their stuff.
Oh, I hear you. You hear it all day long, right? I get it in different ways, and you do hear it all day long, and you're working with people with different health issues and stuff like that. And it's definitely, it's so true. And people, I'm sure you get it. They're like, why are you so calm all the time? What is something? I'm like, well, that's not mine. I'm just there to do something. It's off, it goes, and I'm done. I am plugged. But you're right. If you didn't know how to do those breathing and the center of yourself, your self-care, which is loving yourself.
Totally. Totally.
And having boundaries where you say, no, I'm sorry, I'm not able to do that for you. I say that a lot. I'm like, well, I could do that at this time, but I'm not able to do that right now.
I don't have that glorification of busy thing. I think
me either.
Free.
Yeah. Did you used to, because I used to, I thought that defined me like 20 years ago. Oh, I thought that was the cool thing. And if people are listening, and then I realized that is not so cool. I love the fact that I can do what I need to do, spend some time with the people I love, and go for a walk.
Yeah, totally. Yeah. And you can still walk, by the way. I mean, my hip hop just got shut down. So I was like, oh boy. And the class after I thanked him, I was like, thank you so much for still being open. Then boom, it's done. So now it's walking. Nobody hates walking. Even when we're not in a crisis like this, I'm always like, you know, 20 minutes of walking is an anti-anxiety and an antidepressant.
You know, it's funny you say, I love walking. And I have to tell you, since we've been all closed up, I've seen more people and their dogs than ever before now. Mm-hmm. It was really quiet for a while, but since we went into emergency state, now they're like everywhere. I'm like, people everywhere.
Yeah, it's the same here. And whole families, which I love.
Yeah.
Parents and the kid, you know, taking a walk in the evening. I saw my neighbors twice take a walk. That is so lovely. Yes.
I think that's a blessing right now, is that you can spend time with your family, the people you care about, and you can reconnect and maybe watch a good funny show you haven't seen in a while, play a board game, play a puzzle, go for a walk. And this is what I love. I really believe that this is a good time for the kids. They can take a breather. They don't have to panic about homework. There's no homework to do. You just said no homework to do. Like
I do want to point out that we have the kind of privilege that we can do that. There are people that are paycheck to paycheck that don't have access to things. I just feel the need to mention that. I live in Oakland. Like, this is, not everybody can shrug it off. And so we need to reach out to those people.
We need to rise to those people. And I'm so glad you say that, because I've been saying this, like, I love in their community. We've seen a lot of people say, you know, if you need some pet food, if you need some food for your kids, and if you need some breakfast because they're in a breakfast program and you don't have it. And I love seeing this. And this is what we have to talk also more about. It takes the stress off families. It takes the anxiety off, lowers your kids down. And it doesn't.
You know,
just see what they require.
Yes.
And not stop when this lifts, because it's going to lift and we're going to carry on and things will change. Don't stop.
That's right.
Make this that mission of saying, wow, I see that little person there needs something. Well, go help them.
Right. Help generosity. It's only a matter of time before the science is there that backs how generosity
It's huge.
Good for the brain and the CNS. Yep. There's already some data out there that talks about how gratitude is a natural anti-anxiety.
It is. Yeah.
So let's give, let's receive with gratitude. Let's use all the things that calm us down.
And it will calm everyone down, because I know there are some great, you know, Dr. Bruce Lipton, Greg Braden, you know, they've come up with some great stuff around that science base. And I do love it for people who need that. But, you know, I see it so much, like you said, when people say, wow, I just went and did that and I felt amazing. I call it anonymous giving a lot. I say, do a lot of anonymous, drop some stuff off somebody's doorstep or pay for somebody's meal. They always come back saying, I tried that and I just walked away and I felt like this high, like I was feeling so good. And that's what you're saying. And if we can do more of that, it also calms the kids down. Like, let me help you with your homework. Or, you know, I had a little boy. I want to share this story. He's so lovely. He's just a nine, I think now. He's just a lovely kid. And he was on the playground and he saw this little girl being bullied. And he said, you can't talk to her that way. And he's a little black boy. So he got called a really bad name. He said, and he's been learning with his mom. And he said, you can't talk to me that way either. And he stood up for the little girl and he stood up for himself, and they went in, and the other little boy they had to deal with. And he always calls me Auntie Tracy. So, you know, Auntie Tracy, guess what I did? And I was like, I am so proud of you, because before he would have lashed out, but he stood in his power and said, because he's learning, he stood in his power and said, you can be. Yeah.
It can be taught young.
And if we teach them young. Yeah. But if you learned the poor things that they've done to this little boy in school, right? And having to change it. And this is what I love about what you're teaching. And I really want the parents to really listen and understand, because you are cutting edge. And what I believe, and this, I want to say this to you, because I just love what you're doing. I just believe you were early to the party, but you're going to lead the party.
Thanks for saying that. I appreciate that. I'm born to.
You are.
So this is it. Service to humanity is what it's all about. And I've known that a very long time.
Yeah. It's why I just love you so much, because we're in the same path there. And to see these children move and shift. And I know for a lot of our communities listening, you know, this is one of the reasons I also want you to pay attention today, because I mean it when I say we've been creating this initiative fund, and we want to do something that's free for all the children and be able to have it funded. And when I met you, I was like, oh my God, she would be amazing to be able to help educate these kids and find a platform. And we've been working at growing these funds to create a platform where we can push more of what you are doing out there, because parents need to understand. And you have the fun. But I love what you also do. You have fun with your children that you work with.
I was just thinking that exact thing. You plucked it right from my mind. That's part of it too, to be real with people. It, you know, it's levity without being invalidating.
Yeah.
And laughter is uplifting. Laughter, as it turns out, is great for calming down the central nervous system too.
Yeah, laughter and play.
Right. Playing, not taking yourself too seriously. You know, the ego strength that it takes to laugh at yourself sometimes. That is a solid person that can do that. And I do it constantly in front of them. as a, you know, I'm going to model for you how to be imperfect and love yourself anyway.
Yeah, you know, I love that. And if more parents could learn to laugh at themselves, I can't believe we're already top of the hour. Zach's like, we're at the top of the hour. You know, what would you like to leave for parents? I know we're going to bring you back on because I know there's so much more that we can discuss. And I really want the universe, the world, more of you out there because it's your time and any way we can help that. But what would you like to leave for kids or parents? I know a lot of kids listen to these shows, believe it or not, their parents have told me. So I'm always surprised.
That's cool.
They come with their parents.
Well, I have seen transformation in 8 weeks from kids that have gone to therapy for years before we met. And I, you know, it doesn't have to be me. Find someone real to work with because real change can happen very fast when you're inspired and you think you're seen. When you feel understood and seen and heard, that is a natural motivator. I don't cure people. I open the door for them and I'm like, hey, it's sparkly in here. You want to come see what your true self is capable of? Because I can already see it. You want to do this? Should we dance our way right into your authentic self? Because I bet it's going to be rad.
You couldn't have left this on a higher note. This is exactly true. I love this. Guys, open the door. You got to check out Dr. JJ Kelly. Open the door. DrJJKelly.com, right? We're on the right place. Get the book. I want to say thank you. I'm so glad you took this hour to be with us.
And will you come back? I'm so grateful to you too. Thank you so much.
So I want you to come back. We are going to do this again. And we've got to keep helping these children. And I know I'll be talking to you real soon. So thank you. Thank you, everybody, for watching. Please catch the replay. Share it with your friends. I know it's on all these 90 outlets. So whatever one you love, I know iTunes and Spotify seem to be the most iHeartRadio popular. Share it with your friends, especially if they have trouble with their children or they have a frustration going on. And, you know, reach out because you got someone right here and she can help you get through that and navigate it. And you couldn't be in better hands. So thank you again and have an incredible week, everyone. And I'll see you next week right here at 11 a.m. on the Tracy L. Clark Show.
Thank you for listening to the Tracy L. Clark Show with me, Tracy L., where I teach you how to connect to the God consciousness so you can unlock your superpowers and connect at light speed and live your extraordinary life. Tune in every Tuesday at 8 a.m. Pacific on Transformation Talk Radio, where together we will unlock the secrets of your body and your life. As a founder of the Body Regeneration Academy, I, Tracy L., will provide you with the insight and simple tools you can apply right now in your life to move you forward and leave the past in the dust. To join the Body Regeneration TLC Online Academy, make sure you check me out at TracyLClark.com.